live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville Sports Original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
On WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Here's Johnny.
And welcome to hour number two, Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you, along with Zach Williams. Coming up at 5:55, game two of a three-game series for the Braves against Toronto. Last night it was all Braves winning 10-1. Great pitching from Max Fried. The bats were working too for the Braves, as Tyler Flowers, along with Matt Adams, Austin Riley, all went yard. And how about Dansby Swanson now? 12 games the Braves have played, right? Adding a couple of more runs batted in. He's now up to 13, the former Vanderbilt standout. Once again, 5:55 tonight for the pregame. First pitch at 6:10. Right now, a lot to get to, and we have the opportunity to visit with Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. Not a good afternoon for the two professional teams playing, from the state of Tennessee, the Nashville Predators, the Memphis Grizzlies. Teresa, let's start with the Predators. Hey, all tied up one apiece going into the third period, but Arizona breaks the tie. They add a power play goal, adding one more goal late. And that's the story as Arizona wins 4-1 over the Preds this afternoon.
The first goal in this series, as Greg Wyshynski pointed out on the postgame Zoom, Predators were 8-21-4 during the regular season when they did not score the first goal. And that's what we've seen in this series. Whoever scores the first goal wins. And the Coyotes won today on their first shot. You know, I mean, and we've seen that so often in the last year. You know, the coaching change, Johnny, didn't seem to, help that. You know, you guys were asked, how frustrating is that? And it's, yes, it's frustrating, but, and especially with the, we thought that Turris gave him the lead with 1:13 into the third. And, oops, no, Duchesne is offside. And it wasn't that close either. So, John Hines says, well, that's some of the details. And it's like, that's where we're at with this team. It continuing to be making mistakes, the details of such that are just costing them over and over. And, right now, I asked John Hines, what's the challenge now that you're 60 minutes away from being eliminated? And he came back with, well, we're also 60 minutes away from getting to game five. Well, with what we've seen in two of these first three games, is there a Predator fan that's that confident that we're going to be seeing them play on Sunday?
And that's the part, too, when we think about it, because they have tomorrow off and they'll be back in action again Friday afternoon at 1:30. And, after the first game, you start going, okay, what happens if they fall behind 2-0? You don't have a lot of confidence. They're going to win 3 straight. So what does that mean for this team moving forward? Well, now we are bringing up that same question. What does it mean for this team moving forward if they can't get it done coming up on Friday?
Well, exactly. And, we saw David Poile make a change in the middle of the season in January, move that I thought probably could have, should have been made in late November, but it was made at the beginning of January after the loss at the Winter Classic. We see them score goals and then let things go. And the mistake there on the Garland goal, I mean, guys were going to Steppen who had the puck, and they just completely ignored the guy skating toward the slot, Great pass from Stephen, and, great toe drag there by Garland to slide around and get off that shot. But, sometimes it feels like I'm watching flashbacks to when my kid played soccer when he was 4 years old. Somebody's got the puck, and they slide toward him and ignore the person streaking toward the goal, and it just costs them over and over and over again. And, at this rate, this is a team that, they're tied with Washington for most consecutive, 6 straight playoff appearances. But that said, if they lose Friday or Sunday, if they get it to a game five, is anyone going to think with this roster that this team is going in the right direction?
Well, all you have to do is look at the overall results even before we, you know, got to the point where we are now with the rejoin. I mean, this team has been underperforming the entire year, and this team is too talented to be, you know, saying those kind of things about this team. I mean, that's the part that I think is frustrating for everybody that's, been watching the squad all year long.
It's incredibly frustrating because you look and you see Arvidsson, you know, that incredible great slap shot there to put them on the board. And then Turris, that was another great shot, yet it didn't count. He hit the post a little bit after that as well, also did not count. So, Duchesne, he's got a nice big contract because he was supposed to be an offensive push. Ryan Johansson, both he and Duchesne talked during the, during the pause about how they were, you know, wanting to, you know, they'd looked at their game and, you know, Duchesne had watched film with John Hines down the street. But in the moment, that's where we're seeing them not capitalize the way that they should.
Earlier today as well, the Memphis Grizzlies. So 8 games in the bubble, right? That's in the stretch run until we get to the playoffs. The Grizzlies were looking really good being in the 8th spot. Well, 4 games in, they're still in the 8th spot. However, they're 0-4, 3 of the 4 losses to teams that are chasing them down. And so now you're getting to the point where you're not even thinking about winning it outright, where you don't have to have a play-in game then to decide who plays the Lakers as the ones, you know, the Lakers are the one seed right now. It is frustrating, too, because you've had some key injuries, and that bad news continues to happen for this Grizzly squad.
Yeah, and Jaren Jackson Jr. is now out for the rest of this, whatever this season is for them. Watching the game against the Pelicans on Monday, I thought I saw him kind of grimacing as he was heading back down the court, landed awkwardly, and a meniscus tear in his knee, and he's out. Expected to make a recovery, but, you know, that's the thing. He was really starting to come on for me. He had 33 points in their bubble opener, if you want to call it that. He was, you know, he was really starting to blossom, but, you know, it just feels like these bubble games are exposing some of the woes that they still have to address. You know, they've made a bunch of moves redoing that roster, but unfortunately they're still making, you know, John Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., Brandon Clark, we think they're all going to be great players. And I think John Morant definitely is the rookie of the year. And for, you know, no asterisk, I don't care what people say, Zion did not play more games. And so he can't be the rookie of this year when he didn't play more games. But they've got to find ways to improve and be on point. And that's where the challenge comes in, is how do they do that? How do they make some fixes, and continue to grow? But, you know, today they had a big lead against Utah, and then, yep, you know, they dominated the first, you know, 3/4 of the first half, and then it just, they couldn't finish, they couldn't find ways to finish off Portland on Friday, and now they're 0-4 in the bubble, and, you know, the lead, the 3.5 game lead that they've had, well, it's going close to being gone, and, you know, Portland's hot on their trail, and they're going to have a hard time holding on to that spot.
It kind of reminds me of when we were talking about Vanderbilt a couple of years back, where, you know, they'd be in ball games, and then the final 5 minutes they would find ways to not win contest. And the same thing applies to, you know, the Grizzlies this afternoon. They were only down by 1 going into the fourth quarter. Unfortunately, a couple of things, and these things have to be corrected, not just for game 5 of these 8 games in the bubble coming up on Friday. But it also, if you are talking about any kind of run, any kind of chance to do some damage, if you make it, win the play-in game and play the Lakers, you have to improve, especially in the stretch run of contest, better shot selection. But more importantly, we had Eric Hasseltine on after the game, and he was bringing it up too, and it certainly was noticeable. It's not a lack of effort. The effort is there. They're trying. But the problem for the Grizzlies today is they're just allowing way too many open shots. I mean, Utah took advantage of it today, a team that had been struggling from three-point range. Today they made 18, shooting 40% from three-point range. When you're doing that, it's going to be very tough to beat you.
And the Grizzlies have not been taking great shots themselves. You know, at times it feels like they're just throwing the ball up, and, you know, they had taken better shots during the regular season. So I'm not quite sure what's going on there that they can't, and maybe it's one of those things where they believe some of the hype. Oh, we're going to go get that eighth seed. We're going to go in. We're going to, and then, these other teams have been getting ready for this too, as well.
Well, when you're talking about a younger team, and then you hear, okay, somebody's got to have to step it up. We've had now not one, not two, not now we got three key injuries, and so you know as well as I do, somebody really has to step up their game. They hear that, and then they try to do too much. And I think that was certainly the case, especially in those final 10 minutes of that contest today.
Oh, completely. And that's the time where you win games in the NBA, Johnny. That's where you close, and that's how you finish things up.
But I tell you one thing, Grayson Allen, I mean, boy, he's – look, the bench, believe it or not, the bench is playing well. It was the inconsistent play for all five starters for the Grizzlies compared to the five starters for Utah. That was another difference. But Grayson Allen led that bench for the Grizzlies, and what a nice performance that he had today, making threes. And it's not over with yet. I mean, and besides that, they still have the eight spot with four contests to go. Somebody's going to have to come in and take it from them.
Absolutely. But I'm curious to see how this team reacts. Taylor Jenkins seemed a little frustrated from the things that I saw on social media, quotes that he said. So I want to see what they do and how they react, because that's going to be key. It hadn't been pretty. And can they turn things around? If not, it's going to keep sliding. Because you go back to the regular season, and they were on a bit of a skid going into the stop, but they were hopeful then of getting Jaren Jackson and Brandon Clark back. And, oh, yeah, Justice Winslow, a guy that they didn't get to see at all down in Orlando, at least in games that counted, because he got hurt in a scrimmage, a team scrimmage, not even against anybody else. So, I'm curious to see how they respond. They have the pieces to win some games and get into the first round of the series of the playoffs. Can they? And if they can, that in itself will be the achievement, and I'm curious to see how they respond.
Hall of Famer Teresa Walker joining us. Let's turn our attention to the Tennessee Titans, and of course the big news is the fact still no Vic Beasley, and tomorrow is the deadline, by the way, as far as if anybody was curious about the opt-out deadline. That's coming up tomorrow afternoon. What do you make out of the whole Vic Beasley thing?
At this point, I'm having shades of Kevin Dodd memories because, yes, there's reports that there was a funeral, but, then John Robinson tells us a week ago that this absence is unexcused. Then we still don't know, And, I would assume that the GM's probably the one mostly talking. Mike Vrabel's busy with, camp. But, he said today he hadn't been in touch with him, and he wants to coach him. The Titans have made that clear. They want him here. They want to help this young man, turn around his career here with a one-year contract and show what they can do. But they need him in camp to do that. Their first practice on the field is a week from Friday. There's still plenty of time for him to pass the testing protocols and get into camp and show them, how healthy he is and what he needs to do to acclimate to camp, but they need him there. And, the longer he stays away, is he opting out? Well, the deadline for opting out, I think it's tomorrow. Yeah,
it is
Wednesday,
tomorrow,
right?
Yeah,
so,
tomorrow.
We'll know for sure if he's actually wanting to play. But at this point, I think we're all just wondering and waiting to see, for that next shoe to drop. Rashawn Evans, though, pointed out that, he feels pretty confident in the guys that they have there to rush the passer. But let's face it, Vic Beasley was a part of the puzzle the Titans were putting together to get pressure on the quarterback this year, and he's not around yet.
Well, the bottom line is you're going to say all the right things, whether you're Rashawn Evans or whoever we're talking to. But, privately, I guarantee you they're saying we need a Vic Beasley type. And then at least the Titans did get some good news. One of the two players that started, when everybody reported last week, he was on the unable to perform list. Jayon Brown, the linebacker, along with wide receiver Corey Davis. Well, today, linebacker Jayon Brown, he passed his physical, and so now he will be removed from that list, and he'll be joining the active roster.
A big step, and now we'll wait a few days and see when Corey Davis gets cleared off of that. Remember, I think I told you a week or maybe last week, not to worry about the guys on the PUP list. two things. They're there. They're working out. And, you know, the team can see them and see how when they get to that point. You know, and Jarrell Casey last year didn't get off the pup list until about August 10th. So, you know, they still have several more days. And as long as guys are available on the 17th, at this point, that's the date to worry about. So they're healing up. Getting Jayon Brown is a big key because that's a guy who is in a contract year. And he is going to, you know, be incredibly motivated. But let's face it, he played really well last year. So that is a guy that they need in the middle of that defense.
You know, one individual I'm sure paying attention to this and the other teams as well is one Mr. Clowney. And I'm sure that he'll be certainly interested to see what exactly happens with Vic Beasley tomorrow, because if Beasley does not report, if he opts out, for example, then obviously that means Clowney, his opportunities certainly increase. And maybe it's one of these things for, forget about a one-year thing, where he gets the extended deal and gets paid like he's looking for.
Well, and that's the thing. If Beasley doesn't come, then, you know, or if he opts out by tomorrow's deadline, then maybe that gives the Titans more capital to chase Mr. Clowney. But, you know, at this point, I'm just waiting to see what happens.
You know, I don't have a – look, here's the thing. I don't have a problem with anybody interested in protecting themselves or their family by opting out. I don't have an issue at all with anybody doing that. Vic Beasley does not look good right now with the way he's handling this.
No, because here's the thing. Your agent is the same agent as the Titans GM. That should, you know, even if you're not talking to Mike Vrabel, but again, even though, you know, you should have a phone number for Mike Vrabel, you should be able to reach Mike Vrabel if you need him. You should be, you know, what we know is what John Robinson said last week was that his absence was unexcused. That he was on the reserve, did not report list. But he signed a $9.5 million contract back in March. So, you know, the Titans can, under the CBA, fine him $50,000 a day. That toll is adding up. You would like him to get in and figure out a way to just make that stuff go away. So, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, talk to him, show up, figure some things out. But at this point, it's really tough not to think of, you know, was it, 2 years ago or last year where Kevin Dodd was, just left and finished, you know, he was gone, you know, guy who was the, you know, first pick in the second round and his career was suddenly over because he just didn't want to play anymore. So what Vic Beasley is dealing with, hopefully it's not serious and hopefully it's something that, you know, he can deal with safely. But the Titans, the clock is ticking and it gets louder with every day that passes in the month of August.
Yeah, as a reminder, Dodd was picked ahead of Derrick Henry, by the way, in that second round that year.
Well, it's worked out okay for Derrick Henry because he stuck around and earned another contract.
Absolutely.
So there you go.
So what are you looking for out of the Titans during this process? I mean, the fact that there's no preseason games. I was really impressed with Logan Woodside last week. I've brought that up a couple of times on the show. You know, I'll be interested to see what that means as far as on the field, especially without preseason games. I'm really intrigued to see exactly what he's able to learn, you know, with these, you know, as far as practice and the training camp. But as far as with his confidence, he seems like to me somebody who, you know, not timid at all, and he was paying attention when he was unable to be on the practice field last fall with the injury.
I'm very curious to see because we know that the Titans love him, but I'd like to, you know, they can praise his knowledge of the offense, his arm and all that, but, you know, need to see what he does under pressure of practices because it's going to be different being the number two in practicing than going in and practicing as a guy trying to make the practice squad a year ago. So I'm very curious to see once we get out on the field next Friday to see what we do see and you know, hey, they're giving him every opportunity, Johnny. It's there for the taking. All he has to do is do it.
So you're saying that we're not going to have a Kurt Warner moment? Somebody who goes from bagging groceries and playing in the Arena Football League to helping his team to a Super Bowl title with the Rams? I mean, after all, Logan did start until the league disbanded. He was a part of the Alliance of American Football.
No, hey, he might be. I mean, nobody picked Kurt Warner to do what he did.
Right.
But Kurt's a little taller than Logan, and he had an incredible arm, and he's now in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So if Logan Woodside does that, then he will completely justify the Titans' faith in him.
You know, one of the things that I noticed, too, and I'd like to get your thoughts about this, and I don't know how much of an opportunity we're going to see it based on, you know, the protection as far as safety measures with regards to protecting the players from us with regards to COVID-19. But in that locker room, you know, we've mentioned in the offseason, like a Logan Ryan, Delanie Walker, Jarrell Casey, Marcus Mariota, all these key players that had such major, major leadership roles in that locker room. But one of the things that I was interested to see, you know, who's going to, you know, fill those shoes, you know, which couple of players, three. But what I'm noticing, and this is really a great thing if you're a head coach and your coaching staff when you're seeing this, and I brought it up a couple of times this week on the show, is the ability of so many lifting up their games to the point where, you know, off the field, on the field, their mindset, you know, it's almost like they don't need somebody to tell them what to do. They understand what the goal is, the common goal for this team. And so you're seeing, you know, some major leaders, but you're also seeing, you know, some individuals taking even minor roles as far as leadership roles, like a Jonnu Smith, for example, who now is the guys from a tight end standpoint.
Well, and that's what you want. I mean, that's part of what Mike Vrabel's been preaching since he arrived was, you know, guys, you know, buying in, wanting to play football. Remember that what we've heard so often from John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, the kind of guys they were looking for? Guys who love to play football, and then it means an awful lot to them. When you get those guys on your roster, then that's where you get that buy-in, and that's what we've seen.
But before we let you go, where's your confidence level this week with regards to NFL college football in the fall?
I still lean to the NFL getting, you know, most, if not all, of the season in college football. I'm going to have to wait and see. I'm 50-50 on college football. I just don't, you know, you see Louisville shutting down things today because of so many positive tests that these are college kids. You know, in the NHL, NBA, NHL, MLS, these are professionals who understand that they're getting paid to be available. And if you're not available, you won't have your job. In college, you know, these kids aren't that far removed from, they're very hardly removed from home, and they're away from home on campus having fun, and they're young people. So I hope we have a college football season, but the way things keep getting canceled, Johnny, I think we'll have a vaccine before we have a college football season.
See, I'm right there with you. I've been that way since April, and everything that I've seen in recent weeks, and like UConn making the announcement today, they've canceled football for the year. So, yeah, I'm kind of still leaning where you are. Hey, do me a favor. Let the listeners know again the best ways to keep up with all your coverage.
Like my page on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. Do both at Teresa M. Walker.
All right, Teresa, thank you again. Have a great rest of the week, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you. That's Teresa Walker with the Associated Press, Hall of Famer, three-time Sports Writer of the Year as well. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation, open segment coming up, 615-844-5600, 844-5600. I got some Braves news on the other side. Not good news, but, you know, they keep getting hit with this adversity, and they keep finding ways to overcome it. We'll talk about it on the other side. This segment brought to you by friends with Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. Five great locations to serve you in the Middle Tennessee area. The Enhanced Experience in Hendersonville at Circus World. You got Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, the Tusculum area, and Murfreesboro. Plus, speaking of Murfreesboro, right now, fully engaged in expanding the operations down there to the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall, and that should be completed later this summer. You can keep up with the updates as far as that development by liking the Strike and Spare Murfreesboro Facebook account. Plus, for more information about Strike and Spare, you can go online at strikeandspare.com. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Good afternoon. It's still running extremely slow here on 24 eastbound at Walden Road where this truck flipped earlier. It's still out here on its left side. It is so slow go here with people rubbernecking on 24 eastbound at Walden Road as you leave Nashville headed out to Murfreesboro. Keep that in mind. It's backed up. Lebanon Pike at Briley Parkway. That wreck does have some injuries. Bars Music City Soul Food is now open behind that Bank of America on Nolensville Pike at OHB. Check out their menu. BarsMusicCitySoulFood.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
This summer, it's Mega Mayhem at Nashville Shores Water Park. Come on, thrill to our massive all-new family raft ride. At 6 stories tall, it's our largest water slide ever. Soar through its huge tornado funnel. Fly high on its colossal 40-foot wave wall. Oh yeah, mega thrills, mega fun. Experience the all-new Mega Mayhem, only at Nashville Shores Water Park. And now, save $10 on one-day adult admission when you buy tickets online at nashvilleshores.com. Park open daily.
Paid for by Tax Advocate Group.
Are you tired of dodging the IRS for back taxes? Are you curious about potential new options available to you because of COVID-19? The coronavirus has forced the government to take extensive actions, making this the most opportunistic time for you to finally restructure or even resolve your tax debt with the IRS. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, have unfiled tax returns, and are experiencing hardships because of the impact of COVID-19, you could qualify for more aggressive resolution plans with the IRS. Tax Advocate Group has specialists ready to help you determine your eligibility for these programs. Act now before it's too late. This could be your best chance to resolve your tax debt. If left unresolved, your debt will continue to accumulate penalties and interest and eventually be subject to serious and punitive collection activity. Call to take advantage of these temporary tax relief options to resolve your tax debt today.
Call 800-555-1212. That's 800-555-1212. Again, 800-555-1212.
The George Plaster Show.
It's great you finally landed in a place where you're going to thrive with the greatest people on sports radio, pretty much.
Weekdays starting at 2.
It's sports talk the way it should be.
The George Plaster Show.
Man, it's great to have you back, my friend.
The George Plaster Show.
This is going to be that much better now with George on afternoons, man. I can't wait, man.
George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio. Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now, 615-844-5600.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you along with Zach Williams, 615-844-5600. A game that you heard earlier today, it was the Utah Jazz. They went into the fourth quarter up by one. Ending up pulling away for a 124-115 win over the Memphis Grizzlies. As far as the standings are concerned, the Grizz still in the eighth spot, but now their lead is only one game ahead of Portland. And depending what happens to San, in fact, that game is now over. It was Denver holding on for a six-point victory over San Antonio, so the Memphis Grizzlies, Zach, got some got a little help
got
there
lucky.
From the Nuggets.
Got so, a little lucky right there.
Yeah, so that's good news if you're the Grizzlies. So the Spurs going into action today, they were a game and a half back. So that's good news. But then the Pelicans right there in the hunt. Phoenix Suns are also in the hunt with just only 2.5 games out. And so now here we are halfway through, 4 more contests to go in the bubble. And at this point, it looks like it will be a 8 versus 9 play-in game to determine who plays the Los Angeles Lakers. And right now, if you're the Grizzlies, you just want to hold on. But you can't really approach it with that attitude either, because if you go in just trying to hold on, then that's not going to get you anywhere as far as the play-in game. But they return to action coming up on Friday, 2:30, for the pregame tip just after 3 as the Grizzlies take on the Thunder, Oklahoma City. Also today, it was one of these situations, and we've seen it all this year, Zach, when the Predators, when they have an opponent score first, usually is not a good sign, and that's exactly what happened today. And the thing is, the Preds outshot Arizona something like 18-7 in that first period, but they fell behind 1-0. They were able to get the equalizer there in the second period with Victor Arvidsson. So going into the final 20 minutes, it was all tied up one apiece. But Arizona, you know, the key for them, they score first in the third period, the 7:08 mark of the third period, and then they get the two-goal advantage on a power play by Taylor Hall. They had a late goal with an empty net, and it was Arizona now taking the 2-1 lead in this best 3 out of 5 against the Predators. Off tomorrow, back in action again coming up on Friday afternoon at 1:30. So not a good afternoon today for the Grizzlies or the Preds.
Yeah, with the Predators, you know, we're going to find out what this team's really made of, which, not to give them an excuse, but you look through just the season so far with injuries, coaching changes, obviously coronavirus, just everything that's happened to the season, even though there was great anticipation for the season coming in and there were high expectations, but it seems like they're just not there. They're just not there right now, and there's just, I don't want to give them those excuses and say, well, that's why they failed, but for the most part, that's why they failed. Just everything that's going on right now, and they're not done yet, but you hope they can stretch it to Sunday, and from what we're seeing, though, I just don't see it. I just don't see them actually making it happen. The way that they're playing right now, there's too many things, too many cogs in this machine, and that seem like they're not working properly.
The Atlanta Braves, you know, yesterday we get the news that, you know, the night before, the ace, Mike Soroka, tore his Achilles. So he's out for the year. And so the Braves needed Max Fried to step up his game, and he's been pitching well anyway. Well, a great win for the Braves last night. Max Fried went 6 innings, scattered 4 hits, only allowed 1 earned run, and the Braves bats, you know, forget about starting pitching when you can do what the Braves did last night. 10 runs last night, including home runs by Tyler Flowers, Matt Adams, Austin Riley. We brought this up too, Dansby Swanson. So the Braves have played 12 games. He added a couple of more runs batted in. He now has 13 RBIs in the 12 games for the Braves. However, you know, I mentioned Matt Adams, right? The Braves do get some bad news today. First of all, you know, Ozzie Albies, the second baseman, he's been struggling with this bruise on his wrist. So he's now been shut down. He's been placed on the injured list. And he's been struggling, and because of it, with the bruised right wrist, it led him to have to bat left-handed against left-handers, like, for example, last night. So they've shut him down, but it looks like it's not a serious injury, but it's going to take some time to heal. And then I mentioned Matt Adams, who's been outstanding as the DH for the Braves. In fact, he's been their primary designated hitter. Although he has made a couple of starts at first base for Freddie Freeman, but now he's on the list because of a hamstring. So he's got a strained left hamstring. Hopefully it's not severe, but when you think about losing a bat. Now, on a good note, Nick Markakis, he's been reinstated. Remember, he opted out to begin this rejoin, right? Well, then he opted back in. And so we'll see how that works out for him. But the Braves can certainly use his bat, knowing with these, you know, a couple of key injuries. And how about Charlie Culberson? You know, Mr. Everything. He can play almost every – I think he can play every position. I think if you needed him to pitch and get it out, as far as he can do that too. But he's making his first start at second base tonight for the Braves since 2018.
Any ball player, any good ball player should be able to play any position, even pitch, because at some point they did. So I'm glad to see that he's doing it, but any real baseball player should be able to play any spot. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah, but you don't want to catch. You know,
you don't want to catch, but you should be able to do it. You should have the knowledge of every position on the field.
All right, coming up on the other side, a chance to talk some college football, Big Ten style, also looking at Penn State as well. Our good buddy Corey Geiger will join us. He is the Penn State beat writer for the Altoona Mirror. That will take us to the top of the hour around 5:55 for Braves baseball. Once again, the second of a three-game series tonight. Sean Newcomb, the left-hander for the Braves, gets the call as they take on Toronto. 5:55 for the pregame. First pitch around 6:10. All the action right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. It's still running extremely slow here on 24 eastbound at Walden Road where this truck flipped earlier. It's still out here on its left side. It is so slow go here with people rubbernecking on 24 eastbound at Walden Road as you leave Nashville headed out to Murfreesboro. Keep that in mind. It's backed up. Lebanon Pike at Briley Parkway. That wreck does have some injuries. Bars Music City Soul Food is now open behind that Bank of America on Nolensville Pike at OHB. Check out their menu. BarsMusicCitySoulFood.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel. Language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. BABBEL.com.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. That's 800-870-6217.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at LynchTreeService.com.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCamp forecast. For this afternoon, partly sunny with a high near 86 with a north wind 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 66 with a north-northeast wind 5 to 10 miles an hour. And tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 86 with a north wind around 5 miles an hour. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jeff DeWitt. Sports Radio
WNSR. This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Don't forget, coming up at 5:55, the Atlanta Braves back in action. That's the pregame as they take on Toronto, the second of three games against the Blue Jays. First pitch right around 6:10. All the action right here on Nashville Sports Radio. Chance right now to go back to the hotline, talk some Big Ten, college football, and more. Corey Geiger, the Penn State beat writer for the Altoona Mirror, joins us now. Corey, hope you're having a good week. And as always, we appreciate you taking time out with us.
Absolutely, Johnny. Thank you so much. Everything's going well.
Hey, by the way, your thoughts and in conversations that you've had around the league as well, you know, what's your assessment on the way the Big Ten, Kevin Warren, who's still in his first year as the commissioner of the Big Ten, how they've handled as far as reacting to an ever-changing moving target as far as COVID-19 is concerned?
I would say they've done as well of a job as they could have. They want to play football, obviously, and there's so much money at stake that they're... Here's the thing. You have to make plans right now. Whether these plans are going to hold up in a month or 2 months, because quite frankly, Johnny, I don't think there's going to be a college football season. Maybe there will be a little bit or some here. I don't know. But they're doing a good job making plans. They put out their medical release and everything, and they're trying to put everything, all the pieces in place to have a football season. But here we are a month away, and whether there will be a college football season or not, that really remains to be seen.
I mean, here's the – I mean, look, today is August the 5th, and they're expecting to play Labor Day weekend. I just don't see it.
I'm with you. I don't think they will. I don't think they should. I just think you have college athletes, student athletes, that are so much is going to be asked of them to live their lives and it's just some kind of crazy situation. And you know, all these tests and all these rules. They're not getting paid. I think it is. They're getting asked. Well, let's call a cut to the chase. This is all about money. This is about money. Division II and Division III today canceled their fall sports championships. Right. The Ivy League did it. The Northeast Conference did it. Smaller conference. Well, why? Well, because that's the right thing to do. A lot of the people in the country are doing the right thing. But when there's billions of dollars at stake, the right thing has to be countermeasured with all of these financial obligations. And so... would it be the right thing to have major college football? Hell no. No, absolutely not. But, you know, they need that money, and so they're all moving forward with that intention.
But here's the thing. I will say this. Both need each other, because these players who are playing, especially in the Power 5 conferences, if you're a starter or you're on the two deep chart there as far as the depth chart is concerned, then, you know, you're looking about the opportunity to play at the next level. So they need each other. One of the things that is noticeable, though, I mean, just like the Pac-12, the Big Ten has also followed suit. So they've got this unity group, right? And, you know, look, you can't trust necessarily these head coaches and coaching staffs to do the right thing. We've seen how they've sent players back on the field with concussions because they're trying to win ball games. And so you would hope that they would have the players' concerns, you know, 100% about their safety. You know, you're also trying to get that, you know, in some cases, if you're on the hot seat, you're trying to get W's. And so I can see why the players are concerned. You brought the fact that they're not paid, and that's certainly now with what we're talking about, because this would be a situation to bring money in to save these athletic programs, to save these universities, to save these towns, even as far as from an economical standpoint. And so there's a lot of things at play here, and the players are basically wanting to be protected, for one. And two, I mean, obviously they are concerned that everybody's going to do the right thing.
Well, how about this word to kind of summarize a lot of those things you're talking about, Johnny, and that is leverage.
Oh, absolutely.
The players have, college football players have more leverage today than they've ever had before. Who has the leverage in college athletics? Football coaches. Football coaches that make $7, $8, $9 million, they have all the leverage. And you know what? College football players, if they want to transfer, they've got to sit out a year, so on and so forth. They've got all these rules against them. But they have a lot of leverage now. This gives them leverage. And I applaud, you know, the Pac-12 starting it. And this is, we're going to see this all across the country now with these unity groups. I give the players credit for, especially from the healthcare scenarios and making sure that everything is taking care of them. Because, look, Johnny, we've talked about the virus, you and I, over the last few months. there are going to be college football players that get positive tests, guaranteed.
Right. We've already been seeing that already. So
yeah, there will be players get positive tests. There will be coaches get positive tests. There will be administrators or support personnel that get positive tests. What's going to happen when the tests become positive? And how are they going to take care of these people? I saw a study out of Germany last week that said, you know, they're showing residual heart stress and stress to the lungs from people who have beaten COVID. Okay, so we can all just assume these 18, 19, 21, they're all going to beat it. They're going to beat it, and they'll be okay. Well, will they? Well, what's their lives going to be like when they're 30 or 35 or 40? Will they have some lingering effects from it? Will they take it home and give it to grandma? How many of these kids live with their grandparents? How many of these kids live with people who have underlying conditions? So, I know we're talking about two separate things here. The players have leverage. I hope they use that leverage to make sure that their personal lives are protected as much as possible going forward if they're going to put their you know, careers and athletic abilities on the line here.
From a Penn State's perspective, what is the university saying? What about the fan base? Your thoughts as far as how they're reacting to football in the fall?
They want football. I hear from a lot of fans that want to be able to get into the games. This week they're supposed to address the season ticket holder situation, which means they're obviously going to address how many fans they're going to allow in the games. I'm a believer there should be no fans at any of these games. And, hey, I understand maybe some of your listeners disagree with that. You want to go to these 100,000-seat cathedral stadiums. You want to cheer. College Football Saturday is part of our culture. It's part of our lives in this country. And, you know, it's just one of those things that we don't want to give that up if we love it. But should we? Should we have fans at these games? So Penn State fans, they want to go to the games. But I can only speak to Penn State. I'm sure there are other programs around the country like this. Penn State has a very old fan base, a very elderly fan base. Many, many thousands of fans that go to these games are in their 60s and 70s. They've been doing it for 40 years. So you got to look out for everybody. You just have to be careful. And I would say Penn State, you know, they're putting out decisions and they're thinking through all this as well. But here's the bottom line, Johnny. They can have all these scenarios in place, just like Major League Baseball or whatever. But when the positive cases actually start rolling in, like with the Miami Marlins or like the St. Louis Cardinals or anything else, and we're going to see it in college football, what are the decisions going to be made then? That's where I really worry, because they're going to go forward with all this because they need their money. When the inevitable happens and a lot of people start getting sick in and around college football, what decisions are they going to make then? Are they going to do the right thing, or are they going to do the thing that keeps them on the path to get their money?
And the frustrating part, I understand if you're a fan of Penn State, knowing that even last year we were talking about 2020. 2020 was going to be the run, and then Penn State almost made it happen even last season. And so to say you're back, you know, Penn State certainly has every opportunity to be quote-unquote back in 2020. And it's an unfortunate thing, you know, knowing that not just Penn State, but obviously everybody being impacted by this. But certainly when you have such high aspirations as this Penn State squad. Hey, Corey, as always, I so appreciate you. I'll remind everybody again the best ways to keep up with your coverage.
Just check Twitter at Corey Geiger, and you can always contact me on there through direct message or anything. I enjoy talking and getting back with people.
Hey, continue to stay safe. All my best to you and your family, and we'll talk down the road.
Thanks, Johnny. Take care, pal.
Thank you again. That's Corey Geiger, once again, the Penn State beat writer for the Altoona Mirror. And, you know, it's we see what the Big Ten's trying to do, Zach. Just the fact that it's Labor Day. I mean, that just, you know, it's good to have the plan per se, but to me, that's not obtainable. You know, what the SEC threw out there as far as the latter part of September and what they have structured, to me, that's a goal that maybe is obtainable, although the numbers have to get down to where they are right now in the southeastern states. But a Labor Day weekend in the Big Ten country, I just don't see it right now.
Yeah, and I imagine they probably have a secondary plan they haven't came out with. You know, I would hope they would at least. I would think somebody, a group like them, they would have that plan ready to go. But, you know, I think, too, a lot of these, not only just Big Ten or SEC, I think a lot of them are just keeping an eye on what's going on with the MLB and seeing how, you know, some of these teams that have been, you know, they had the cases break out and everything. You know,
right.
They're keeping an eye on how they're handling it and how they're doing the transition and seeing if it comes back. That's going to be a big litmus test, I think, for a lot of these guys.
Big thanks to our visitors. Besides Corey Geiger with the Altoona Mirror, Teresa Walker, the Hall of Famer with the Associated Press here in Nashville. Also, Eric Hasseltine, the voice of the Grizzlies. Braves baseball on the way next. Game two of this three-game series with Toronto, fresh off the 10-1 victory last night against the Blue Jays. Don't forget to start your morning off with the Bill King Show tomorrow morning, 6 to 9, followed by Greg Pogue and the John Burton Show from 9 to 11. Then Jim Rome comes your way from 11 to 2. And right before us from 2 to 4, it's the George Plaster Show. For Zach Williams, Johnny Ballpark Franks, go Braves. Have a great Wednesday night and do us a favor and make it count.
This is exclusive.